Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Dara Ennis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, and you'll be proud of me because I absolutely nailed your boy band quiz on Instagram.
I had never had any doubts, Dave. It was aimed specifically at you.
Rightly so. 5 out of 5. And I absolutely love the quizzes. Now, I will say one thing. I almost have to skip over the ones where you wear the Liverpool jersey because obviously I'm a Manchester United fan. But, you know, sometimes I suffer and I go, okay, what quiz has he got today? Or what on this day from, you know, 240 years ago?
It's enough suffering, to be honest, being a Man United fan at the minute. Anyways, so I can't blame you.
Yeah, fair enough. Where did the name At Bones Giles come from, by the way?
Oh, yeah, this is a cross I have to bear. I went in early on this. So that's I keep getting told I should change it to Dara Ennis Official or something, but I'm in too deep.
Yeah.
My nickname as a kid when I was about 10 or 11 was Bones because I was really skinny.
Right.
And one of my brothers decided that because our next door neighbours, who are completely unrelated to us, were the Ennises, that it was too common. So he said that we were now the Gileses. So he then became Bones Giles. And when I first signed up for social media,
yes.
I just signed up with that at random because I didn't think through. And yeah, I became famous by accident. And then I was stuck.
Well, I think it's great. And the fact that it has a story behind it is absolutely brilliant. Bones Giles, wonderful. We will get on to the chase. But first of all, I must say congratulations on being a best-selling author.
Well, best-selling with an asterisk, definitely, yeah. I think I was top of one of the subsections
listen,
of Amazon.
Listen, I always say I'm a number one selling artist because I was number one on iTunes for about 40 minutes one time. So listen, I just think you go with it.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to do anything that helps shift more copies, you know?
Exactly. So, look, talk to us about the book. Why did you decide to write about the body, 10 Things You Should Know? Why did you pick that as a subject?
Well, I'd love to have some sort of, you know, long story from my childhood. I've always dreamed of this, but I did it because I was asked to do it.
Right.
So the publisher, Orion Books, do these books every year.
Yeah.
And they have a series of them. And they sent me a few of them, actually. They're really interesting and good fun. And they said, look, we want someone to do one on the human body this year. Would you do that? And I said yes, because, you know, I have a biology PhD and
yeah.
I love doing science communication anyway. So I had what I'd always wanted to write a book, and I tried to pitch a few science books, but I think I was a bit too technical. This was a much more broad appeal one. So I said, yeah, and I really enjoyed doing it as well. Actually.
For somebody then who, you know, has a PhD in biology, has done incredible work, when you get to go to write about the body, like, do you have to take into consideration who the audience is? It's not a scientific paper, as you say. You know, you don't want to be too exclusionary in terms of how you write it. You also don't want to dumb it down to the point where, you know, it could be used, you know, it could have been written by one of my kids, for example. But you know what I mean? Like, you got to strike a balance there.
Yeah, you do. So I was a scientist for a very long time, and myself and the guy who's the head of our lab were the main outreach people for our department. So we were very good at this kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
We went lots of talks in schools and to general public audiences. So the balance has to be between, you can't be patronizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people aren't stupid. They just haven't got the knowledge that you have. So you need to put it in terms that people understand. You know, you have to make it understandable and engaging and interesting, but not talk down to people, because people are generally quite smart. They want to know these things. But if you throw in, you know, a word that goes from one page onto the next page, they're going to lose. You know,
totally.
you need to use sensible language. And that was the key thing.
And I suppose as well, the engagement is key as well. Like finding things, because obviously you could write not 10 things about the human body, you could write 10 million things about the human body. But I just think, like, some of the topics you've chosen, for example, sleep. It's such a key thing. Like last week on the show, we had Keith Barry talking about sleep hacks, and he's released a book on that. But, you know, I love your take on sleep, that sleep is kind of not something we should really be doing.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if you think of what evolution has caused animals in general to develop, you know, things like fight or flight response, you know, our senses, all that kind of stuff, they're sensible. You know, that's a good way to be, like, you know, to survive, you need these things. But sleep actually makes you really vulnerable. And the weird thing is how widespread it is, because, like, nematode worms that are, you know, too small to see with the naked eye that live in the soil sleep. Fruit flies sleep.
That's, so you've done a load of work with fruit flies. In fact, you were on my podcast with myself and Neil Delamere, and we spoke about fruit flies and how, like, they are the most awarded animals in the world because there's more Nobel Prizes. Given to fruit flies than anything else.
And one of those Nobel Prizes was on sleep and circadian rhythm. It was all done in fruit flies. So if you see the fruit flies hanging around your house, they do go asleep. Things that live in the ocean sleep, you know. Even whales and dolphins that have to, like, get up to breathe, they have to sleep as well. So you can't escape it.
Why has nature over, you know, millions and millions of generations then not figured out a way to protect us from this state where, as you said, we're so utterly vulnerable, we're effectively paralyzed?
It just seems to be so fundamental to how our bodies and particularly how our nervous systems work that without having some sort of downtime for maintenance, they can't function. And if you throw it off, if you have a mutation that means that you don't need to sleep anymore, you don't survive.
No, you don't.
It just seems to be absolutely central to animal life for whatever reason. Almost every animal we know sleeps. It's bizarre.
It is amazingly bizarre, as is most of the stuff in the book. Why is our blood red? How does our body defend itself? How do hormones control almost everything we do? And so much more. The book is The Body, 10 Things You Should Know. It's available everywhere. You should get your hands on it. I mean, people will know you as the Menace. You're not very menacing, though. You're very nice, Dara. That's the thing about it. And weren't you actually in trouble at the start of your career as a chaser for being too nice?
Not trouble as such, but after my first episode and I came off stage, I asked for, you know, feedback because I didn't know what I was doing. And the main feedback was you did very well on the quiz side of things, but you were looking like you were enjoying yourself way too much. You're meant to be menacing. maybe stop smiling and looking around like you're having the best time of your life, which I was.
And I presume you still are, though. I mean, it's such an amazing thing to be part of.
It is. It's a great gig. It really, really is. Like, people really want me to, when I'm talking to them about the showbiz world, to give them gossip about, you know, horrible people and behind the scenes. But it's genuinely not like that. It's such a nice place to work. And I get to work with Brad, which is so much fun.
I'm really glad you said that, because I think a lot of people watch that show and he is such an integral part of the appeal to that. But to hear that he's nice and like he comes across in real life is brilliant.
Genuinely lovely. Brad is a nice, nice man. Like, you can tell how nice he is because when we do Beat the Chasers, he gets his mammy along and puts her in a front row seat and brings all her friends and all that kind of stuff. She gets the VIP treatment. Mrs. Walsh is absolutely the top star.
Brilliant, brilliant. And then what about the rest of the Chasers? Are you guys all good friends? Do you communicate with each other?
Yeah, we have a WhatsApp group called the Boring Work Group, and we chat. It's mostly centered around quiz and around the show. You know, people have this weird idea that we kind of live together, but, you know, we're very different people, and we actually don't record the show that often. You know, we record 3 shows a day, and so we only actually record, depending on how many episodes we need that year, sort of 50, 60, 70 days. We do Beat the Chasers as well, so, you know, there's only a few months of the year, essentially, all spread out where we're together.
Work. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And the Chasers aren't together either because one person is on. So the person in the middle show, who does show 2 of the day, will see the other two.
Yes.
The person on the first one and the last one won't see either.
Only see one person. Yeah, of course. That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
So, you know, so we don't see each other all that much, but, you know, we do award shows and things and we occasionally get together, but yeah, we get along and we're friendly and we're friends, but I wouldn't see some of them for months at a time, and that's just fine.
Okay, and listen, I can't let you go without giving our audience, who will either be sitting at home watching it on the couch or perhaps brave enough to jump on and become a contestant, tips. What little quick tips could you give us to either impress our friends or our relations, or if we're on the show?
If you're on the show, look, there's no magic formula.
Right.
This is the key thing that everybody seems to always want, the magic formula. But, you know, it's going to sound like your school teacher again. Listen to the question you're actually asked.
Yeah.
The amount of people who hear 2 words and then go, oh, this is what they're going to ask me. A lot of people get very easy questions wrong because they stop listening.
Do you know, Neil Delamere said exactly that on any quiz show on TV. And Neil's been on TV so many times, but he says he immediately, as you said, hears a word or two and starts thinking about whatever that word is, as opposed to trying to keep your mind a little bit blank, listen to the full question, and then start processing the information.
Yes. So it's the eagerness to try and get it done quickly, which is fine. And sometimes you need to be quick.
Sure.
But for a lot of people, that processing speed is too slow. So you're better off listening and getting 5 right out of 10 than not listening and getting 3 right out of 12.
Yeah.
You need to focus. And then the other thing, and this is really hard, this is the big difference between chasers and contestants, is if you get a few wrong, it's really easy to sort of spiral and to stop listening and to be beating yourself up about the one you've got wrong. And it can really get away from you.
Gotcha.
And so a lot of people do that. You need to, if you get one wrong, you need to mentally just throw that away and immediately focus again.
Focus again on the next thing. That's so difficult. I mean, look, even top level sports people talk about that, like footballers missing a chance that they have to just go, no, reset back to zero. That didn't happen. I'm just going on to the next one now. I'm going to make it happen the next time.
Yeah, so when I was training, they gave me a sports psychology book. I know being a chaser is far from being sporty. I'm the opposite of sporty, but the mentality of it is the same. You know,
yes.
It's a competitive environment under pressure, and they gave us this really good sports psychology book about, you know, controlling that and compartmentalizing your mind when you make a mistake.
Yeah, that's such brilliant advice. Love it. Right, quick fire round before I let you go. I ask all my guests these questions. What are you currently obsessed with, Darren?
Right now, I am currently obsessed with, I got to sound bad here, but I'm currently obsessed with promoting my book because it's not published yesterday. So I'm spending a very, very large amount of time and effort. I sneaked into 2 bookshops to sign copies of it yesterday.
Ah, that's great. What a brilliant thing to do. It's so exciting. Look, fair play to you. That's a great answer. Who is the most famous person in your phone?
In my phone, it has to be Brad, I guess.
Yeah, in fairness.
I can't think of anybody who I know. I'm not really a celeb. I'm someone who's masquerading as a celebrity. I live a very normal, quiet life. So I don't do the big celeb lifestyle thing. So yeah, I'd say Brad probably.
Brad, that's a great answer, in fairness. I think back to when you were about 8 years old. What school did you go to when you were in, say, second class?
In second class, I went to Holy Family National School in Rathcoole because it was about 100 metres from my house.
Yeah. But think about back there now, when you were about 8 years old, it's little break. You open up your lunchbox. Yeah. What's inside?
I would have had, at 8 years old, I would have actually had probably ham sandwiches, potato, salt and vinegar crisps.
Nice.
Some fruit of some kind, probably an apple. And a Capri Sun. I love the Capri Sun.
Oh, Capri Sun, quality. And the final question, Dara, I ask all my guests, because I don't. Do you wash your legs in the shower?
Yeah. The point of a shower is to wash all of the things.
Listen, you're probably right, but I'm going with my theory. You can have yours. Dara's book is out now. Get your hands on it. The Body, 10 Things You Should Know. Dara, the Menace Ennis. Always great to chat to you, Dara. Thanks a million.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Dave Moore. On Today FM. Podcast.